just first off, I know you were talking about the situation with White and Marble, and the possibility of them maybe not being able to play, and they end up being two of the top three picks, White going first overall. Just what were your impressions of that?
I think people are just so tempted by the prospect of coaching and having on your team such great players that they're just willing to take the chance. And I think also that it was a tremendous compliment to get invited to those games, those tryouts. And I think everyone would say they're long shots to make it. I saw in the paper that of the 29 invitees, 24 were first-team all-conference. Now, most of those conferences aren't as good as the Big Ten, but, of course, Marble and White have not yet been first-team all-conference. So I think there's probably some sentiment, not to speak for those coaches, that there's a decent chance they won't make it. Now, we all hope they do make it. But if they don't make it, you've got an awfully good player. And so I think that was the sentiment that if they do make it, you've still got nine guys. And so I think that's what people thought. There were only two or three guys that had to worry about it because they went in the top three.
Right.
Yeah.
And for you specifically, you got Jared for second year in a row, and you also got Anthony Clemens as well. Just how'd you feel?
Well, I would have. I never like to get the first pick or an early pick even, because I don't want to usually take the same person that other people want to take. I just like to have a different kind of player than the typical star player. You know, if Kobe Bryant applied to play, I wouldn't take him at all, let alone first. I'm the guy that took David Cruz from Mankato State over Reggie Evans as the first pick overall and got the 6:30 wake-up call from Coach Alford. But I was delighted because I thought Jared, in addition to being the kind of guy that I wanted to have, was probably the best player left at that point when I picked two. And maybe that's not true. You know, Gabe Olesenny and Zach McCabe, the next two guys picked, maybe every bit as good as Jared. But, you know, I've had a kinship with him for a long time. I'm the only primetime coach he's ever played for. And I helped get him back here a little bit because just talking to him as a friend, I thought this was a great fit for him. I'm a huge Fran McCaffrey fan. And Jared has one thing that not every player has. He wants to be the best player possible. He'll do anything to be the best player possible, and Fran's going to get that out of him. So those are the kinds of guys I like.
As a follow-up to that, when you look at a guy like Jared, do you get the sense that maybe next year he does become a guy that starts from day one for Iowa?
No. Because I just don't think you can predict. He needs to get better defensively, and he needs to show that he can do things better than some other people can do. Right now, he's the most versatile guy they got, because you can look at Aaron White and Devin Marble and say, really talented, haven't proven they can make the three. But they have proven they can play defensive rebound at this level, and Jared hasn't proven either one of those things. But if he turns out to be what he looks like he'll be, he's going to be more versatile than anybody we have, because he can post up, he can shoot the pull-up, he can shoot the three. He will pass when people are open instinctively. That's not hard for him. You don't have to say, hey, you missed somebody. He doesn't miss anybody. He reminds me of that kid that played for Butler named
Gordon Hayward.
And that he's just, the game just comes to him, you know. And I just like those kinds of guys. And so I think there's a chance that if, as he develops, he can be as good as anybody. But right now, I don't think you'd say that that's necessarily true. I think it's going to be very hard to get Aaron White, Adam Woodbury, Devin Marble, Mike Gesell, and one other guy out of the lineup. Now, is that other guy going to be McCabe? Is it going to be Oglesby? Is it going to be Clemens? We go small. Is it going to be Peter Jock? So I don't think that I could say, other than Mike Gesell and Devin Marble, I think those two guys are automatic starters almost always. I'm not sure that anyone else is. Maybe Woodbury. But, you know, Gabe Olesenny has been coming on like gangbusters. Could he beat out Woodbury? Possible. I wouldn't say that's impossible.
Have you noticed more of an enthusiasm here over the last few months? Just kind of given between what Iowa was able to do last year, getting the NIT championship, and seeing fans not seeing the excitement with that, and then just all of a sudden people are like, hey, I can't wait for the summer.
Double-edged sword. And I'm one of those guys that people at my restaurants, I'm in the restaurants every night, that's the first thing they want to say. Oh, I can't wait for prime time. What do you think? What do you think? And so I hear as much of that as anybody, because I'm identifiable as somebody that they're kind of is interested in that. And there's not been this much enthusiasm. Now, the reason I say double-edged sword is sixth in the conference ain't going to do it anymore. It's time to cash in on the potential, and now they're no longer too young. Now they're no longer not talented enough to compete. Now they're not getting used to Fran's system. Now it's put up, because now is the time. Having said that, they will not be rated higher than fifth or sixth in the preseason polls just because the people that people have coming back. How do you pick against Michigan State and Wisconsin? How do you pick against the talent that that Michigan has. How do you pick against Indiana despite the losses? How do you pick against, I'm leaving one out, Michigan, Ohio State? And so I think it's a tremendous task ahead of them, but I know it's one they're welcome. They want to be thought of as challenging to be in the conference's elite four or five teams, and I think they'll end up there. But, boy, it isn't going to be an automatic.
And my last question for you, are you happy to have six teams again after last summer?
I like these guys that are getting to play now that didn't get to play when we only had 20 spots for non-Division I players. A lot of them are as good as Division I players now. They just weren't when they were junior in high school and recruiting decisions were being made. And so a part of my heart goes out to those guys. I'm glad to see a lot of them get in. I don't think it hurts the league any. We had 12 teams at one time, and so we went twice as deep as this into those ranks. And there have been a lot of guys that haven't got picked in recent years that give up, and I feel bad. I like the guy that applies every year. Doesn't get picked every year, but keeps applying. And so this is a little reward for some of those guys. I think when you come out and see the games, it'll be the same as last year. Last year, everybody was saying, oh, what's going to happen without you and I? Nobody even noticed. Nobody cared. It was Iowa against Iowa, three positions on every team. This year, I think at the end of summer, people are going to say, gosh, I didn't notice any lack of talent. This was great. And the spotlight's always going to be in the Iowa guys. The other guys know that, but the ability to go beat that Iowa guy, that's a powerful motivator and one of the fun things about the league.